No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Maria Sanchez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008, or we have a chat box, and you can send questions to us via the chat box. Tonight, Maria is not with us because it's Mother's Day, and she's at home, I hope, being spoiled by one or all of her four children. So, Maria, happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next week. I hope it's a great day for you and for all the mothers out there. It's a very special day. I just finished cooking dinner for Mrs. Brown. Her children gave her gifts, and we're hoping that she has a great day as well, as she is the mother of my three children, who are unfortunately more like me than they are like her. Sorry about that, honey. But anyway, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We have a couple of special guests tonight that are going to talk about some very special issues that affect women veterans. We thought it was a great day, a great idea, Maria and I did, to have these amazing women on our show so that we could talk about these issues that are affecting women veterans that I don't think a lot of people know about. So we're glad to have them here. In a little bit of statehood news, the President of the United States said that he thinks Republicans would be crazy to make the District of State, and he's gotten everybody in Washington, D.C. upset. But unfortunately for us, he's right. Republicans aren't standing with us. 260 co-sponsors on statehood bills in both houses. Everyone's a Democrat. So we're going to have to work on that in the future. Anyway, let's get on with the show, and let me introduce our two guests. We have with us Dr. Joanne Fisher and Tiffany Daniel, and I think Tiffany's going to be first on the show. Both of these ladies represent veterans through a group called Women Veterans United Committee, and they represent women veterans throughout the state of Maryland, and so we're very happy to have the two of them here tonight to talk to us about things that are having an impact on women veterans, especially women veterans who are moms. You know, lots of women veterans, 39% of all women veterans have children. So it's a great day to talk about this, I think. Tiffany, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, yes. It's great to have you on the show. So can you start, Tiffany, by telling me what the Women's Veterans United Committee actually does, what their priorities are? I know you're a nonprofit group, but what is your goal?
Well, see, that's where I'd like to defer to Dr. Fisher, but I will say.
Okay. No, yeah. No, you can. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay,
oh,
so.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Joanne Fisher, and Tiffany is our Director of Health, and we're both here. And I will tell you what our goals and just a few things, and then I'll turn it back over to Tiffany.
Okay, great.
Our website is Women Veterans United Committee Incorporated. Be sure to keep that incorporated there. And .org. and that's WVUCI_INC.org. And our purpose is to reach out to women veterans to create a sisterhood. We want to change the image of women so that people can see our women veterans more. We want to see that we are not just military women, but we're very hard working women with good character. We're good mothers, sisters, aunts. We do so many things. We're everywhere. A lot of women don't like to know, have people know that women veterans, you know, that they were women veterans. But we're here to let you know that you are respected and you are cared about as we form a very solid sisterhood. Our issues, I want you to know, are employment, military sexual trauma, transition from active duty, women veteran-focused health care, child care, and cancer in women veterans. We also have two minor issues, which to me are very major, is respecting the flag. That's something, because don't forget they're placed on our coffins, our caskets, when we die. That's something that's very, very major to us. And the other one, I can't think of it right now. It just kind of slipped my mind. But, we also are really serious about the burn pits. We want more people to know about the burn pits in the that were in the Middle East, and we want our women to register, and especially about our motherhood. And I'm going to turn this over to Tiffany so that she can go on further. Tiffany will tell you about we do have a food drive going on now. We're asking for donations. Tiffany will tell you more about that. She'll tell you more about all of the things that we're doing and how we're recognizing people who are going to work every day during the coronavirus, and our women veterans who are out there doing this just as well, because we are everywhere. Please, Tiffany, would you take it from here, and then when you're ready, you can let me know, and I'll step back in. And thank you, everyone.
Well, you know, before we bring Tiffany back in, you hit on one thing that I just want to talk about for a minute, Dr. Fisher, and it's something that I deeply care about, too, and that is the thing you said about the flag. It really bothers me that somehow liberal Democrats have shied away from respect for the flag, or at least we get that rap, you know? People treat us that way, and I don't understand. When this coronavirus first started, I wrote on Facebook that everybody should put their flag out every day as a symbol of solidarity while we're home, right? Everybody put their flag out. Let everybody know you're alive and well, and that you stand up as an American. And, you know, I got some really great feedback about it. People thought it was a great idea. But I also had people write me and say, isn't that a little xenophobic? When did it become xenophobic for us to appreciate the flag? I don't get it. So I just wanted to make that comment. I don't expect you to respond, because I know you respect the flag. But I don't know why every American doesn't respect the flag. We should.
Well,
and with that, go ahead.
Something you must know is that the Supreme Court passed a law that said that we did not have to respect the flag. That was a law that was actually passed. And many of us we couldn't believe it. I remember that. And so then I suddenly saw flag pictures on boots and everywhere. And like you say, people wrapping up in flags and burning them and doing everything. And we must go back to respecting the flag. We stand hard behind this. We stand hard because it's placed on our caskets when we come back from overseas. And one of the things that we know is that when we go because it symbolizes our service to our country. I take that very, very seriously. And thank you. I want to also say thank you for having me on the show, Senator Brown. Thank you. Thank you. And also your assistant. I want to thank both of you. Thank you.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I not only respect it because I come from a military family. My brother was a combat veteran. My father was a combat veteran. As you say, it's your it's a symbol that the military respects, and I respect it on that grounds. But I also respect it because I'm an orphan who was a high school dropout who put themselves through graduate school, college and graduate school after I got a GED, and I got elected as a United States Senator. Now, I truly believe in my heart that there's no country, other country in the world where that would happen. So, you know, and we could go on about this all night, but it really bothers me as a liberal Democrat that we don't pay more respect to some of those things like the flag. Tiffany, you want to be on and you want to come on and tell us the things that you're doing with the Health Committee, because this is really at the center of what you guys are doing right now, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the flag is key to what we're doing right now, because that's what Women Veteran United Committee can stand on. If we were all to put together and what the flag symbolizes, then the women veterans not be feeling isolated at times the way that they do. We would not still be pushing forward for the benefits and things that some of the needs that Dr. Fisher just listed to you. We would be equal. We put on the uniform. Yeah. The flag flies on our uniform sleeves. We respect the flag just like our fellow comrades do. So why is it we're still having to push or lean forward to some of the needs that she just mentioned? Like now, the Women Veteran United Committee, we're doing Women on the Move, virtual retreat, two of that retreat. During that retreat,
excuse me a second, Tiffany. Do you have your computer on? We're getting feedback from somebody on everything you say. I'm hearing twice. If you've got your computer on, please mute it. And I'm sorry, go on.
No, not my computer.
Okay, somebody's computer. Go ahead.
All right. So with that being said, with the virtual retreat, we have added on two things to that to pay back to the communities just to give. One is the food bank fundraiser. Together, we can stop hunger. Because we know during this pandemic, not only are the stores becoming bare, but the food banks also are becoming bare. And in certain areas, people, their funds are being exhausted also, and they don't know where to turn. And people are panicking. People are getting stressed. So we said if we can help to replenish the food banks, that's what the food banks are there for when families need meals, when families need groceries, so that they could go to the food bank when they cannot afford to go to the stores to get groceries because a lot of the shelves are bare of some of our essential needs.
Well, just let me add to that before you go on, that there should be no such thing as a hungry veteran. There should be no such thing as a veteran that has children that are hungry. So please, before you move on too far, let people know how they can help in that regard. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, not a problem. So Dr. Fisher gave the website. If people wish to donate, you can go directly to the website at www.WhiskeyVictorUniformCharlie_India-NovemberCharlie.OscarRomeoGolf. All right, that's WVUCI-INC.org. It's also on our Facebook page and the website as well for the food bank. They can donate or they can email her. Her email address is on the flyer as well to connect with her directly. And may I give that out also, Dr.
Yeah, Fisher? Oh, no, absolutely, please.
That is, okay, that is JYF20745@yahoo.com. I'll repeat it. J
YF, which is Juliet Yankee Foxtrot, 2045 at yahoo.com. And that will be running until the end of June. Right now, it's scheduled to commence until the end of June. And, you know, Senator Brown, it's something that Dr. Fisher pointed out to me that we found a little ironic, that as we get feedback, we are finding more so males that are giving us feedback or donations for the food bank. So we'd like to thank them for being so generous and, like you said, looking out for our households, our fellow veterans, our comrades, and families. For those that can afford to give, then please help us support our veteran families and the local food banks. So with that being said, we've also, Dr. Fisher, has been coming up with another way to give back, and we are taking names from individuals for those that their coworkers are still working. So those individuals that are working in the grocery stores, the post office, most of them, not all white-collar workers, but some blue-collar workers as well. If you have a family member that is still going outside of the home to work, they are putting their lives on the line each and every day to continue to serve the public, just like our comrades in the active duty forces, National Guard and Reserve. They're putting their lives on the line, and we'd like to show gratitude and appreciation to them by sending them certificates or, if it's a business, a plaque, just letting them know how much they are appreciated for going out every day to face this world and to face COVID-19. So those are two things that we're doing.
Well, and you know what? That really is the character of veterans, isn't it? We always say on the show that if you need to hire somebody, hire a veteran, because they've already proven that they're dedicated and that they believe in something bigger than themselves, and they work hard, and they, you know, but that really is their nature. I do a lot of work with veterans, and they are the most stand-up people that you ever want to meet. So God bless every woman that's ever served. I want to tell you that I don't want to digress here, but one of the great honors of my life was that when I owned my own public relations firm, I had a public relations firm for 25 years, and we worked with a women's group who put the Women's Memorial together at Arlington Cemetery. We helped to promote that. If our listeners don't know, there's a gate at Arlington Cemetery that's dedicated to all the women that have served, and it was a great honor for me to work on that project. So please tap into the website, send emails, stand up for these people, because they always stand up for you. I'm sorry, Tiffany, is there more that you want to say about what's going on right now?
Just getting to the retreat, and that is it. That's the third thing, which is the catalyst of the other two programs that I just mentioned. So the retreat is what spearheaded these two other programs. What we decided collectively was we were planning, of course, a physical retreat. And when the pandemic shut everything down, Dr. Fisher and I were talking about how people's moods were changing, how people were starting to get bogged down, and how they were just changing, as in they weren't able to see past the day. They were starting to get depressed, and just their spirits were getting low. So we decided, hey, instead of waiting until June for the retreat, and we don't know whether we'll be, you know, from under this pandemic in June, let's start doing a virtual retreat. So even before a lot of the agencies started doing, and the churches and all these meetings started coming online, we were doing the retreat. And it's open to all, not just veterans, even though we would prefer that the women veterans know about this and that they join us, because we've had some dynamic speakers, including yours truly, correct, sir? We thank you.
Oh, yeah. Another honor that I've got to be able to talk to women veterans, yes.
So we've had dynamic speakers, dynamic topics, and we are now running part two until the end of May. And that you can also find more information on the virtual retreat. We have a weekly schedule already set up, and it's on both our Facebook pages, Tiffany Daniel and Joanne Fisher, as well as the website for Women Veteran United, Inc., .org. So, sir, with that, I think I will turn it back over to you, and thank you so much for allowing us to share your platform.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you're one of our regular listeners, you get our e-blast. We sent out 10,000 e-blasts that also have the flyer included with them, so you can just look at your e-blast too and see what's up with the virtual retreat. And I encourage you to call in. You know, it really, if you have nothing to talk about, be part of the retreat and just say something nice to these people, because they've stood up for all, each and every one of us. And you know what, today being Mother's Day, let me tell you, you can call in the show if you're out there listening. If you want to say something nice to your mom, or you want to say something nice to a woman veteran, we'd love to hear it. You know, and I'd like to thank all the women who have served, and also all the family members who have served. You know, my brother was an F-111 pilot, and his family was drug all over the globe. My sister-in-law served because she had to uproot and live in California and Alabama and Ohio and England and Georgia, and you know, and this is a very typical military life. These people go all over the place. They have to readjust their lives. She was lucky in the fact that she got to spend most of her, you know, my brother wasn't deployed very many times, but he was a few. And then she had to run everything and, you know, take care of the kids. And, you know, so I'd like to thank all the women whose husbands have served, whose children have served, because those who sit and wait also serve. So with that, let me ask you, Dr. Fisher, do you have anything else you want to share with the audience?
Yes, I do. As you know, Memorial Day is coming up, and we are planning a field of honor for our women. Since we still may be distancing, we're going to have it in front of my house, and I live in Glass Manor in Oxon Hill. And we're going to have a small program. We're going to have a field of honor was suggested by the American Legion Auxiliary. And what it is, it's 50 flags that are laid out. We'll have two large wreaths. We'll have a speaker. We'll have social distancing. We're going to have taps. We're also going to have military music. And we're going to have cars pass by to honor this field of honor. We're going to have women standing and men at a social distance, and they stand at attention as the cars go by so that we can salute, so that we can remember and honor all of those who have passed. Some of us may not be out yet, but I want you to know that Women Veterans United Committee wants to bring to everyone's attention that women played a major role in all of the many, many wars that we have had. And so they must be recognized, and we want to make sure that this happens with our field of honor. And, of course, we asked Senator Brown if he would please be in the lineup. The community leader is going to be there, and we're going to ask for some other people, anybody who wants to come, and we'll be sending that out. We have other things to talk about that I want you to know about. When we talked about the food drive, something we didn't talk about, the VA has it set up that a mother can have a baby when she comes out of the military, and the VA will assist the mother with the baby at the hospital. But some babies are breastfed. We're getting ready to be going through this coronavirus, and we have to work together and help each other and everybody. When babies are breastfed during this hard time, if the mother if the mother's not available, they have to have special milk. They can't take Similac, and they the mother can't always afford to buy, you know, pay for the milk for the babies for the special milk they have to have. So we're setting it up. We're going to set up from the food drive money for breast pumps, for special milk for the babies. You can't buy it in a case like Similac. We also want to get diapers. We want to make sure that these young mothers have baby food, diapers, and special milk, because not all mothers can breastfeed these children during this time. We must care. We have to sit out, and as women veterans, we care about everybody. Also, our issues. We have talked about our issues. We can go into greater detail. If anyone has any questions, we'd be glad to answer them for you. And I have gone over them. I've mentioned them to you for employment. We do have barriers, proper attire, lack of skills required for the job, availability of child care. We need to have our job fairs that are focused, that are set up for following up with women veterans to make sure that they have found a job, because they have the job care, but what job fair, but what happens after that? Then we also have military sexual trauma. Women veterans at times have a problem dealing with military sexual trauma, and there are more services the VA and service providers need to be aware of. We want to be sure that there's a sensitivity and plenty of education and training regarding MST and women veterans. We'd like to see more done with that. And then
well, let me
move
just
on. Something major, transitioning from active duty. A lot of women do have problems reentering their community as veterans, and they do need assistance. Now, they're trained for going into the military. You got to go to boot camp. You do all this stuff. But when you come out, it's a different kind of life. And we need to receive more transition training with a clear focus on employment and preparation for the women. So this is something that we really want to focus on. And at this time, who's finding jobs? Unemployment is high. All of these things are going on. But we do need help with remembering our women veterans and thinking of ways that we can help them. And then we also focus on reproductive care. When the women went over to the Middle East and then during the Vietnam War and other times, we are concerned that what they went through with the burning of the fields and the gases, that it did affect the women's reproductive organs. And then we also are talking about women-centered care. We want the facilities make sure that they're set up with a sensitivity for our women veterans. And then cancer in women veterans. We are concerned that a lot of our women veterans do have cancer. We want to make sure that they are properly treated, are given the best benefits, that they have the best counselors on hand. People will say, well, we do all that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not everywhere does. Not everywhere has a sensitivity towards women to understand what we are talking about. Not everybody is caring. And also at this time, during this horrible time we're going through, we must be uplifting, we must be encouraging, and we must be insightful. We must remember that we have to work together. No matter what you feel or how you feel, we must come together, and we must remember each other and be respectful, and we must look back and think of how can we help each other, what can we do to make a difference. And in doing this, we must remember our women veterans. Women veterans, happy Mother's Day. I want you to know you are remembered, you are cared, your children are. There are a lot of us out here who do care about you. I'm turning it back over to you now, Senator.
Well, first, I have some questions for you, but first I want to put this in perspective for people. Women make up 15% of the active duty military people that are out there. So they're a large part of the military. They also suffer from higher unemployment than women veterans suffer from higher unemployment than male veterans, and they suffer from much higher unemployment than the general population. Between 2006 and 2010, homelessness among women veterans doubled. 23% of women veterans are divorced, and 39% of them have children. This is two times the national average in both cases. One in five has suffered sex trauma, and 80% of all women veterans have suffered some trauma. And, you know, we think of PTSD as something that affects men. It affects both sexes. And one of the things that I found unbelievable, Dr. Fisher, is that a third of all VA health clinics have no OBGYN in them or OBGYN help. That's just amazing to me, with so many vets that have children and get pregnant during their service. You know, it's funny. One of the times that I was really embarrassed was when I was collecting signatures one time to get on the ballot, and a pregnant woman, she was must have been 9 months pregnant, she was gigantic, walked up to me, and we started talking about you know, Washington and politics, and she told me she was new here, that she had come here because her family had been stationed here. And I said to her, "Where's your husband stationed?" And she looked at me and said, "What makes you think my husband is in the military?" And I thought about it for a second. I said, "Oh, yeah, my gosh, you know, obviously I said the wrong thing, because she's the soldier." But I just wanted to put a little perspective on that. Can you talk to me for a minute about trauma, sexual trauma, and other trauma that women veterans have to face? Because I think that really, some of those figures really astounded me.
Okay. We are concerned about military sexual trauma, MST, and we do have recommendations, and that we are asking that legislators support the passage of a Military Justice Improvement Act. And that removes authority for prosecuting military sexual assault cases and only military MST cases, not all felonies, from the military commanders, and placing the jurisdiction of trained military prosecutors. Because what we have seen is where a decision could be made, I have seen this, was made, and then the commanding officer of the base changed it, and we were shocked. I was shocked about that.
Yeah.
And also, we would like state and local law enforcement should be given MST sensitivity training when dealing with women veterans so they can better respond. What I'm responding to from your question is, how can we make this better? We're not going to go deep into it about the cause, because we know that it's caused by what's happening to women while they're in the military. We want to find solutions. This is Mother's Day. We want to give hope. We want to make a change. Women veterans should have an option to be in an MST group session with women veterans who have suffered MST, or one-on-one private session when they go to the VA. The VA should include sensitivity training that also address transgender patients, because we do have that, and we put that under military sexual trauma. That's something that we are looking at with that. And then we're asking the VA should increase its cultural sensitivity training with a focus on creating a VA setting in areas that focus on women veterans and their needs. We're even talking about setting up a focus session to do that. And also, the VA has expanded the telecommunication services that they're currently using. Now, they're using it more during the coronavirus session, and we're going to expand that even more. And also, we have the VA Medical Center can be intimidating women veterans with personal histories of military sexual trauma. I had someone to go up, and they were asking for directions, and they said that they, you know, something had happened to them. And the way the person talked to them, they would have liked it if they had been a little more, they treated them a little bit better. And so we're saying that we should have designated women veteran centers are recommended to increase safe access to care specifically tailored to women veterans. The VA Medical Center in D.C. has that. But like you have said, Senator Brown, there's a large, more GYN doctors are needed, a more aggressive approach. We must offer them more to get them to come into the hospital to work with our patients. We also need to have VA come online to look at the environment, because in addressing MST, it's more than just looking at just the symptoms. We have to look at the whole woman veteran. What's affecting the whole woman veteran? And it's a lot of things around that. And women veterans should be able to report sexual harassment at co-ed VA facilities and not fearing anything happening to them. These are the things that we're looking at from the baseline of a woman just walking in with MST to looking at the whole woman. What can we do to make your life better? How can we help you? Has that answered your question? Tiffany, do you have anything you want to add?
Just back on the sensitivity issue, you know, when a woman walks in, whether it's her command or whether it's the hospital, that is between the two of them. The sensitivity of the matter should not be spoken loudly. It should not be spoken of, and it should not be spoken when she's not around. When she's reporting it, stepping up and handing over her trust to someone, when she's talking to that person, and even in the hospital for questions or examinations, it should be where it's private. And I think Dr. Fisher did hit on that. But again, even within her unit, it should be private, reported to the chain of command for only those that have the need to know to get her to the person that she needs to speak to. Not every chain of command, every individual within that chain of command needs to know. Only the ones that have the power to get her to where she needs to be to speak to them, to have it reported and to have something done about it. Because everyone is not sensitive to the matter.
That's well, you know, all those things make sense to me, that we certainly need those things. And I know there's legislation on Capitol Hill these days that is not being paid attention to because of the coronavirus. Very little else is being paid attention to. Excuse me, but we need to put a couple of those things into effect to protect women veterans. And let me just add a little bit from my experience. My brother was the psychological counselor at the Air Force Academy. And he was sent out there when they had the first class of women, believe it or not. I was in college, I believe, at the time when they first admitted women to the Air Force Academy. And my brother was sent out there, and one of his jobs was to sensitize the instructors, because it had been an all-male facility, and they wanted to make sure the instructors were, receptive to having women there. And you know what he told me? He told me that the instructors weren't as much of a problem as the students were. He said that when women first came to the college, they had problems with students. And so I think that everybody in the military has to be sensitized, the leaders and the rank and file people. I really, really think that's important. And again, you ladies are doing such important work. But I think that pretty much answers my questions on trauma. But can we talk about housing for a second? The homeless rate for women veterans is up. What are the challenges for women veterans, especially single moms, trying to find housing?
But everyone, I want you to know there is a problem. There are a lot of single moms that do have children, and the problem they have is that if she has a son and she has to go into a homeless shelter, some of them, there are problems where some of them don't want their boys in with the mothers. And that's something that's hard for me, because where else would they go? We want the whole family to be together. And some of them have daughters and sons. And it may be a shelter set up for women, and they'll take the children. But what about the son? Where does the son go? Also, there are more places taking in women, but more need to be done. D.C. does have an apartment building in Southeast that does take women veterans. They will give an apartment with children. They do it for men and women, and with children. I think this is excellent. In Maryland, MacVet, NavVet have been trying to have a place built that would take in women with children. Some places are established, but we need more for our homeless women. More must be done. And then once they're taken in because they're homeless, it has to be set up so that they can go out and go further. A lot of places say, we don't have the money. But I know something can be done so that, and when I say things can be done, so that they can be recommended with our legislatures looking at assisting with getting things established so that we can help our women veterans who are homeless. Like Senator Brown has said, no veteran should be homeless. Our women with children, I'm sure they're men with children. Right now we're talking about the women because it will affect the men as a parent. But right now, for the women, no woman veteran with children should be homeless on the street. And these are very perilous times now. And what can be done to help our homeless women veterans? More work must be done to make sure that they do have housing and adequate care. And we do have places that will take in women, but not their children.
Well, and you know what? People need to be aware. Yeah, we a few weeks ago had a doctor on that attends only the homeless people in the District of Columbia. And these are especially perilous times for women and women with children that might be out on the street. Social distancing is not something that is easy for homeless people. Things like homeless shelters and soup kitchens and things like that, where they come for services, they're awful. They're awfully crowded, especially in D.C. And you know, I've worked at several soup kitchens and homeless shelters in the district, and they're especially crowded because, as you probably know, Dr. Fisher, we have more of them in the D.C. area, in the District of Columbia, than we have in the surrounding Maryland suburbs and Virginia suburbs. So they get really crowded here in D.C. And yeah, that's something that we very much need to attend to. What about education? Do we still have the same, you know, again, I'm going back to my experience with my brother. My brother has a doctorate degree, which he got while he was in the military. Does the military still offer great education benefits to veterans? And do women take advantage of them?
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you. Does the military still offer?
A continuing education to veterans. And do women take advantage of the education programs that are offered to the military? I know you have a doctorate. My brother has a doctorate. You know, can you still go into the military and get a doctorate?
Well, I didn't get mine in a doctorate. I have I got mine out when I got my first degree through the military. My two daughters use their military benefits, and they got masters through their military benefits, and they have done extremely well. And so we do have that. And so education is major, and more women are actually going to school and taking advantage of that. And we are seeing more and more women moving up and taking advantage. That's an excellent, excellent question about education, and that is a benefit that is there. Yes.
Well, and you know what? It has always been, you know, in modern times anyway, since the time of the Second World War and the GI Bill, it has always been the military's always been a place for upward mobility for people that, you know, that come from disadvantaged backgrounds and go into the military, serve, and then are able to take care of the benefit or take advantage of the benefits. So we certainly encourage people to do that, and women to do that. And it's great that that's happening. Now, the last question I have for you before I let you guys go is that when I was on your website, I saw something called the Veterans Vision Project. What is that?
I didn't understand. You say it again.
I said when I was on your website, I saw something called the Veterans Vision Project. What's that?
Oh, yes. That was done by Lieutenant Devin. I can't think of his last name. And he was a student. He was a student in a university in the Midwest, and he went around and he took pictures. Please, everybody, go to the website. You got to see this. He would take pictures of people who actually served and who they are now, and he would have them stand in a mirror so they could look at who they are, who they were, and who they have become. And so, and he called it the Veterans Project. This is major, and he gave us permission to put that on our website. That is dynamic, and I was floored when I saw it, because it allowed you, male or female, to express who you are from whatever point in life you were in at that time. So we have women who shows women in all kinds of places in life, and they have shown who they were and where they are now. This is powerful. It's more than someone speaking it. They're pictures, just pictures and pictures. And so that was, and if you Google it and you see his name there, we gave him credit, it's his name because he did do the work. You will see more and more of his work. He's now in the Navy, and I'm Navy, and he's now in the Navy, and he has a very good career, and he's a lieutenant, does excellent, excellent work. And that was one of the major contributions that he made, and that was dynamic, dynamic. Did you have any specific questions about that?
Well, you know,
what did you
I
like
just,
about it?
The reason I bring it up is because I saw it on your website, and there's a great picture of this beautiful young woman with two children, holding this lovely baby, and there's a little girl there, and then there's a picture of her in a military uniform and her as a mom. And I think you're right. I think it really brings it home. These are people that, in addition to serving their country and standing up for America, they also have families and other responsibilities, and they're doing it all. And I think that, you know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, and I think that this project really brings that home. It is worth a thousand words, and I encourage everybody to go look at it. Well, we're running out of time here, ladies, so once again, give us your website so people can go and contribute or see what's, you know, get involved. What's the website again?
Download the website, Tiffany.
www.wvisinvictoruci-inc.org. And that is for donations, for support with the food banks, or as Dr. Fisher said, the other item that we are supporting is the Mother's Milk Bank. And they have those all over the world as well. We have one right in D.C. for the Mother's Milk Bank for breast milk.
Well,
and also look at our pictures. Our pictures show you everything from 2015 till now, all the activities we've done. And Senator Brown, we've got to put your picture in there because you've been with us a lot. We have got to show pictures. We have pictures of all of our activities.
You know, I hate having my picture there with so many beautiful young women, though. You know, it makes me look even older than I really am. So, but yes, I would be honored, of course. And I'm honored that you're on the show. And I want to thank you, Dr. Fisher. And I want to thank you, Tiffany Daniel, for coming on. I look forward to being with you this week on your retreat, and I look forward to having you back after this is all over. So maybe you can report on how everything went, how the retreat went, and for every mother out there that's ever served, God bless you for your service, and thank you so much. And ladies, we hope to have you back soon. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, and good night, everybody. Go to our website and visit. Thank you, everyone. Good night. I'm coming off the show now. Good night.
Thanks. Good night. And I want to take a moment of personal privilege in the last few minutes. You know, I said thank you to Happy Mother's Day to Maria and to my wife, but you know, I want to talk about my mom for a while. I lost my mom when I was 15 years old. I think about her almost every day. She was my biggest fan. The attitude that she instilled in me that somehow I was special has lasted me a lifetime and has supported me. I'm a risk taker. I've done some amazing things in my life, and the basis for all that was my mom. So we can't say enough good things about mothers. And I should tell you also that I had a lot of foster moms too. When my mom died at 15, there were a lot of women that mothered me along the way because I was young and I was in a single mother household. So when my mom died, I was essentially an orphan. And there were women in the neighborhood and women who were mothers of friends of mine who stood up and cared for me and made me feel like I was important. I worked full time pretty much at that age because we were poor. And there were women that I worked with, older women who were moms, who nurtured me and took care of me. And so for every mom out there, I want to tell you, motherhood is the most special thing that we have on this planet. And every mother is a hero in my book. And my mother was a particular hero. She had cancer, but she continued to work and support us as best she could. She always put us first. And, you know, I come from a family where she died very early. And my sister was a partner in one of the biggest law firms in Washington. My brother was president of a college. And I'm a United States senator. And all this, in large part, is due to my mom. So we're going to leave you with a song tonight. I thought about doing a tribute to Little Richard, since unfortunately he passed, and he was a guy that played a role in my life as well, because he introduced me to rock and roll music. I'm that old. But instead, I've changed it. So here's a classic from 1929, the year of the Depression, when we were in much the same situation as we are now. And this is by Marie Chevalier. It's entitled Louise, and it's dedicated to my mom, Louise. Good night, and we'll see you next week.
Wonderful, oh, it's wonderful to be in love with you. Beautiful, you're so beautiful, you haunt me all day through. Every little breeze seems to whisper, Louise. Give the people their right to vote.